Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
I think Blaine has a good rapport with the tight ends. I think it's a pretty darn good group of tight ends.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Today it's our final podcast of the 2016 season. We'll talk to Steve about the firings of head coach Chip Kelly and general manager Trent Baalke and the future for the San Francisco 49ers. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Well, Steve, it was a very difficult season for the 49ers, obviously, and it ends with the firing of the general manager and the head coach. And the last game of the season, Steve, it was kind of another symbol of the entire year where San Francisco had the lead and they couldn't hold it. They lose to the Seahawks. I mean, there were some promising moments throughout the season where they could take the lead, but they couldn't hold those leads. They couldn't sustain any consistency. And then it ends, in firing the two top men for the 49ers. So, you know, first of all, just what were your thoughts of the overall picture that was painted this season that ends with this loss?
I'll answer that question with a statement that I made on the sideline, and I may have said this to you already this year. I standing on the sideline with my wife, Tina, and national anthem just ended, and you have three guys kneeling down and four guys holding their fist in the air and the other 46 guys standing at attention. And I said to my wife, I said, you know what? They may never win another game this year. And I was pretty damn right.
Was this like week two? Or
was the next home game. So whatever that was, week three. Let's see. They went to Carolina, and then they. It might have been week four.
It
might have been week four. Dallas.
Right.
And I made that statement to my wife, and unfortunately, it was pretty accurate. But then on top of that, to your point earlier, that there were a number of times where they were in position to win a game. And they couldn't, and I think a lot of that, honestly, is that they couldn't sustain a running game. I mean, passing games that was a whole nother problem. But to win in the NFL, as we've talked about, with 4 minutes to go in the game and a lead, everybody in the stadium knows you have to run the ball. The other team, your team. And you have to be able to run the ball, period. You have to be able to win games that way. And in that offense, you can't. In my mind, you can't.
So the Chip Kelly offense didn't work. And something that was brought up, I thought it was interesting. You actually pointed this out last week. Eric Branch from the San Francisco Chronicle brought up the exact same point about how maybe Chip Kelly went too far the other way as a head coach because he had the criticism that, you know, he wasn't enough of a player's coach when he was in Philadelphia. And this time he's got a ping pong table in the middle of the locker room and an extra amount of time off, the entire bye week off when they were sitting there with a 1-6 record. So did he go too far maybe the other way? And where did Kelly go wrong in your opinion?
I think he did go too far the other way, and I was hearing that from people down there that have been around the game, and someone had said to me early on that no one had said anything ever about Cap, kneeling down during the national anthem. I mean, and that he didn't address that with the team. That's, you know, and then it became obviously a, you know, an issue. It wasn't nipped in the bud, so to speak. And then I was at the Warrior game last night and ran into somebody. Someone on the inside, and they told me that he wanted out, which doesn't surprise me, because he seemed like a good guy when I talked with him, but he just never seemed to be into it, just emotionally, you know, like getting somebody's face. I think we talked about this. Getting the official's face. Show me something. You know, right. you got to be pissed off at some point. You know, that you're getting your ass handed to you, and you're losing games, and you know, I just didn't see that fire.
No, I mean, when you look down at the result of it with Kaepernick, I mean, 3 wins the last 2 seasons as a starter. That's brutal. But you know, one thing that is kind of unusual about the whole situation, Steve, is that you have teammates that voted him the Len Eshmont Award winner for courageous and inspirational play, which I think that might have surprised a lot of people.
I made a lot of people sick. I can tell you that much. I'm one of them. But Here's what I came away from it with.
Okay.
After thinking about it, he, and I'm going back to some of the things that the guy said earlier. Torrey Smith was one that said early on, like, no, we're not upset with Cap for kneeling. We've become a close team, blah, blah, blah. You know what? They bought into his BS. And I mean, this award, this is the top award for a 49er player, voted on by your teammates. So in my mind, what happened was they bought into his nonsense, you know, and they followed him, and they voted for him, and that right there is telling me that, hence the reason you had such a bad season, because, yeah, I mean, you know, some of these balls he was throwing on third downs, I mean, we talked about third downs a lot, you know, just blatantly high, blatantly in front, blatantly behind or below. He's not that inaccurate.
Do you think it was more attitude than it is talent level for him?
Absolutely. I totally think it was.
Which is really a shame because, I mean, he was on his way. He had a career arc that looked like it was going to be great. I mean, he was going to be a top quarterback, maybe not an elite one, but, you know, in a grouping of quarterbacks that could win a Super Bowl. He almost did. Yeah. And just to see it get to where it is now, you know, whether or not it's all his fault, I can't say that. But if his attitude wasn't right, and it's something that was pointed out, here's another it was a quote that was pulled out by Eric Branch again from the San Francisco Chronicle, who, by the way, does a great job. And I just wanted to point out, I mean, and this was kind of unusual to hear from a third string quarterback, but Christian Ponder is pointing out that there were a lot of mental errors. And he said that you'd like to see the older guys step up and hold guys accountable. And that gets back to what you said about Kaepernick, you know, getting some people's faces or other veterans, you know, where maybe there wasn't enough passion just overall on this team to step up and hold yourself accountable and hold other guys accountable, I guess.
Right. And there was zero accountability from, I mean, a veteran player there told me that there were maybe a dozen guys that were focused and locked in every day. The rest of them were.
That's not enough.
No. The rest of them were just along for the ride. And, I mean, that's obviously not going to get it done.
No. Now, a lot falls on Trent Baalke, of course. I mean, we talked about it throughout the season that the talent level wasn't there for what you'd like to see. And it is a little strange that they waited until the end of the year to fire him rather than get a head start on it. And, I mean, he's making decisions on the future, on contract extensions like Vance McDonald. Now, whether or not that's bad, I don't know. But just to wait this long, didn't you think that was a little odd?
Yeah, and that he's signing some guys that – re-signing some guys over the last few weeks that I would say are questionable, you know?
To the extensions, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, seriously? I don't know at what point. I mean, in hindsight, I do know at what point it should have been last year, but, I don't know what point during the season, okay, Jed makes that decision that, you know, we need to blow this up, which I'm glad that they did. I knew the Baalke would be gone. I wasn't quite sure that they would get rid of Chip, but I guess that they could tell that he wouldn't. He had mailed it in already. And was ready to move on.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't seem like you'd want to get rid of two coaches in 2 years.
They're just
there for 1 year.
Yeah, and I agree. And that was, I mean, Chip was Baalke's choice. I mean, not necessarily, you know, in my mind, not necessarily Jed's or whomever else was on the interview process, Dr. York. It was Baalke's choice to make. It was bad from the get-go.
As the San Francisco 49ers podcast with Joe Castellano and Steve Bono continues, there's more to tell you about as far as my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit tpc.com and click on Special Offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park. The one area I will give Jed your credit for is that, I mean, he did learn from this enough to be emphasizing in his press conference how important it is to have the great communication between GM and head coach. And, I mean, he's just intent now on having that be priority number one because that wasn't there with these two guys.
No, and it needs to also be communication between Jed and those that are in charge, you know, Al Guido, whoever the general manager is, whoever the head coach is, Parag, and whatever his role is. You know, maybe there's another person there, but Jed needs to be able to communicate to them all at the same time what he wants this franchise to be.
Right.
You know, and they talked. I didn't listen to the press conference, but I did listen to Kevin. Happened to turn it on when Kevin Lynch was on with
Larry
Fitz,
Kruger.
With Fitz yesterday.
Oh, Fitz. Okay.
And he mentioned numerous times the culture.
Yeah, a lot. He did. They made fun of him on ESPN, I believe, for that.
They did. But I mean, that is the bottom line.
Right.
You have to create a culture, and. You know, that was obviously something that Bill Walsh did. That was something that Harbaugh did for the most part. I mean, he started to. So you have to have a self-confident general manager, head coach that have a plan and have a process of how to create that culture, because once you create it, it polices itself, it feeds on itself and takes care of itself, you know. So, I mean, when I came here, the 49ers were already great. And when you came here, then you're like, okay, what is my role, and what do I need to do to adapt to this culture?
Because it's already in place.
Because it's already in place. I wasn't me. When I came here, it's like, okay, what makes these guys great? Well, obviously a lot of talent did, but there was also a standard of how you prepared and how you practiced and how you played and how you carried yourself. And if you didn't adhere to it, there were going to be veteran players that let you know about it. And if that didn't work, you were gone. Simple as that.
Right.
So we need to get back to that. I mean, that's what's going on in New England, or that's what's going on in Pittsburgh, or places that have been good over the last 10, 15 years.
Well, when you think about Jed, I mean, he was around for what you're talking about, that culture, being a kid. And his uncle Eddie, running the show, but he had Carmen Policy as a president. Yeah. And now I think the media and fans are really jumping on the fact that they think York is not equipped to handle this because he shouldn't be making football decisions. And, he says that he isn't, but he really is in charge of hiring the GM and the head coach.
Right.
I got to say that. Let me just say, Steve, that I think the media and the fans are jumping on him a little bit too much. I mean, I'm not saying that he's done a great job lately, but I do understand that when he said this in the press conference, I totally understood that he owns the football team, or his dad does.
Right.
I mean, they own it.
That's not going to change.
Yeah, you don't dismiss owners. It's silly to even bring that up. And then
totally silly.
That was silly. And the other thing is, okay, people, there are several media members just hung up on Jim Harbaugh. That's 2 years ago now. And Jed York brought it up. He can't look back. It's easy to play revisionist history. It's 2 years ago. You got to think forward. And I agree with Jed York on that.
Yeah. I don't think that Jed is completely ill-equipped. He's not a football person.
Right.
I went to the Warrior game last night with a buddy, and we were listening to KNBR on the way there, and just what people were saying and what the radio personalities are saying and those that think they know.
right.
They were on Jed. They're on him a lot, and that's I think that's unfair. But I kind of ask the same question, like, okay, who's going to help Jed, do these interviews and make these decisions? You have Jed, you have Al Guido, you have Parag. None of them are football people.
No, Al Guido's a business guy, right?
Right. So there needs to be somebody, and then there was a lot of talk about that. Yes, he's been talking to Shanahan. Hopefully he's been talking to Holmgren. I've heard that he's been talking to Steve Young. Maybe he is creating a group of consultants that will help him do this.
Yeah, he hinted at Joe Montana too, which
I think it would be great.
Yeah.
But Jed, as I said a few minutes ago, Jed has to have the plan of, or the vision of, what do I want this organization to be? How do I want this organization to, and the people that work here and the people that play here, how do I want them to represent this organization, and what do I want this organization to be?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he has to have and be able to, communicate that, as I said, to Al Guido, Parag, the new GM, the new head coach, and whoever else he has as his kind of C-level executives, I'll call them.
Right.
So yeah, they've been on Jed about it, and he obviously they haven't done a good job because I don't think he's had good football people around him. I mean, honestly, other than maybe Harbaugh, but Harbaugh's he moves every 3 years for a reason.
Right.
He wears
out his welcome. Yeah.
He wears people out. Period.
Yeah.
So, you know, you referenced Mr. D. He had Bill. He had Carmen. He had John McVay. He had two really good football people in Walsh and McVay.
Right.
And he had Carmen, who is the ultimate communicator / mediator.
And you really need that sometimes. You know, that guy in between. Yeah.
You needed that. You needed Carmen to protect McVay and Walsh from Eddie, and you needed Carmen to protect them from one another, you know?
Yeah, because opinions don't always mesh. There's big egos as well.
Exactly. So yeah. that's what I mean by that, you know? They had differences of opinions, but that's okay. You know, you don't have to like each other, but you have to respect each other. And I mean, that's what the 49er organization was built on, was respect. And I don't think there's been a whole lot there, unfortunately.
No.
Nobody wants to see them be successful more than I do. So I hope that Jed does put together a group of former players, former coaches, former executives that that love this organization and would do anything for it. Because I think it would help them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the hiring process begins right away, and it's funny now in the NFL. I mean, it used to be Black Monday. Now things are happening earlier. I mean, coaches are getting fired, like Jeff Fisher with a couple weeks to go, or Rex Ryan didn't make it to the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know, Gus Bradley. I mean, you know, these teams are they're making their decisions earlier. So that's the thing I look at, Steve, with, you know, the top candidates like a Kyle Shanahan, who might be the top candidate. He's the Atlanta Falcons offense coordinator, and they had an historic season this year, the eighth most points in NFL history. And, you know, he's got the lineage because his dad, Mike, was a great head coach and won the Super Bowl in Denver. But, you know, he's got interviews already scheduled with the Rams, Jaguars, and Broncos because their coach just resigned. So it's going to be competitive to try to get a really good coach and GM as well in here.
Well, I hope that the 49ers are interviewing general managers today, tomorrow, Wednesday, and that, you know, by the weekend they've hired one. I mean, because then they have to get on, that general manager then has to get on to hiring the head coach.
Right. Immediately.
Immediately. Because you don't want to get stuck with interviewing, you know, Shanahan and Tom Coughlin and Chip Kelly and basically not really have a choice.
Yeah. Well, there was talk about maybe it's the other way around where you hire the coach and then the coach gets the GM. That doesn't work, right?
I think that's wrong.
I think that's wrong, too.
I think that's wrong because the general manager, he's part of building that culture of players and personalities and he's one of those legs of the foundation that I talked about that You know, Jed needs to be able to give his message to on how he wants the organization to be represented.
Do you think Jed will be really attracted to the idea of a tandem? Like, I mean, this has been written about, where the Patriots have a player personnel director in Nick Caserio and Josh McDaniels is doing a great job as their offensive coordinator, and bring them both in here. They've worked together a lot. They actually were teammates at John Carroll University. I mean, the relationship is already there. They were the very successful organization. I mean, does that seem to be maybe the most attractive idea that you've seen out there so far?
But that's why I think that you need to hire the general manager first, because he in his mind has who he wants to, who he knows he can work with and who he can bring to be the head coach. I think that the 49ers have a pretty good personnel guy in Tommy Gamble. But does he make it through with a new general manager? I hope so, because he's a good guy. But I don't know that.
Do you think there's an advantage as far as, okay, some of these candidates that have been thrown out there, like a Tom Cable, has already been a head coach, or a Doug Marrone, they didn't win. McDaniels, he's been a head coach as well. Or you've got the coordinators, like Vance Joseph, the defensive coordinator in Miami. He was with the 49ers as an assistant secondary coach before. But you've got some coordinators, and we've seen where maybe that works out. Adam Gase with Miami, that they're going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Is there a blueprint, really? Because, the 49ers' last two hires, they had a guy who was a college coach and then went to the Eagles. And then they had a guy who was an offensive line coach, was never a coordinator, in Jim Tomsula.
Yeah.
So I don't know what – you think about as far as a blueprint is concerned.
No, I think there is. I think there is a blueprint. Obviously, you have to. It's not in cement. It can be massaged.
Right.
But you're looking for. Obviously, you're looking for good football people that know the game, know the business, know personnel. Have a plan, have a process, but it's also you're looking for strong personalities. I mean, they like I said, they got to be self-assured people, and be able to bring people together and get them to perform together.
Yeah.
So. Obviously it's not easy, much easier for you and me to talk about it. I just hope and pray that they get it right. And the candidates that I've seen mentioned, not necessarily some of the ones that you just mentioned, the Cables. I think that they need to go younger. Some of the younger, I don't necessarily know them, but some of these younger, maybe assistant GMs that have been, raised in the Ted Thompson system, or the
Elliot Wolf is a name that's come up.
He's
the son of Ron Wolf. Yeah.
Or someone that's been raised in the New England, organization, or mm-hmm. I've heard the guy's name from Kansas City, who's an assistant GM there.
Ballard, I believe it is. Yeah,
is that his name, Ballard?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that someone out of those organizations, like I said earlier, that have been good, that have created a good culture and have been good for the last 10, 15 years, and to get a young guy in here, I think, young, I guess I'm, some 40, I don't know exactly what the age is, but I'm saying young, maybe someone in their 40s.
So Tom Coughlin need not apply.
No, need not apply. No. Tom Coughlin and I go back 35 years, so no,
wow.
he does not need to apply.
I think the hardest part is patience, because right now 49ers fans are just so unhappy after this season. They don't want to go through too many more seasons like this, but it's going to be hard to have a winning record right away when you're hitting the reset button. Don't even know who your quarterback's going to be. I mean, you're starting over. I mean, it's really starting over.
Yeah, there was, all that talk yesterday of, GM, head coach, quarterback. Yeah, but we need way more than a quarterback.
Right.
I mean, depending on who the head coach becomes, who the general manager is, who the head coach is, that head coach is going to have somebody that, he wants to get. Example being, Josh McDaniels. They're talking about Garoppolo. Well, yeah, Josh McDaniels would probably love to have Garoppolo because he knows his system. He can come here tomorrow and help, teach everybody else's system.
Right.
But I don't know that we need to be going and taking, using the second pick to, pick a quarterback. We need other guys.
I mean, right.
I think that Cap is probably gone. Blaine is a free agent, but depending on who comes in here, could be a very efficient quarterback. The same for Ponder. I don't know Ponder as well. Actually, I don't know him at all. But I mean, the right system, somebody that knows him. I think that those are the least of our problems right this minute, honestly.
Now, they have to have a great draft and get a bunch of players that are good.
Yeah, I mean, I need some receivers.
Right.
We need some people on defense
that can tackle. Yeah.
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 I think there was some guys that ended up playing well. A kid, I'm drawing a blank on his name. Number 51 linebacker.
Oh,
played
Hodges.
Hodges. I mean, I think he played pretty well in the last few weeks. So someone like that, you get Ray Ray back, somebody who can fly around the field like he can. Obviously Navarro.
There's still some hope there.
we need more than just a quarterback.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure doing the podcast again this year. Even though it was a tough season, it was great having you on.
Really tough.
Yeah, I look forward to next year. It'll be a better year. It's going to be a year of change, and really looking forward to doing this again. It's been fun every week to chat with you about it.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. Well, thank you.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra throughout the 2016 season. We'll see you again in September with the football podcast. Meanwhile, the San Francisco Giants Inside China Basin podcast will start up in March. Looking forward to that. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra and Inside China Basin on the sportsvirus.com.